I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. And...
Yo, what the fuck popping, man? It's the Drama King, man. Yo, who that, man?
Yeah, it's 50 Cent, nigga. What's
Harlem,
up, man?
Harlem to Queens, motherfuckers.
What's up,
man? And I'll smack the fucking shit out your favorite DJ, man. Y'all know what the fuck
it
is, man.
Yeah, and say something, you bitch ass
nigga.
Yeah,
street justice, motherfucker.
Yeah, go ahead, say something.
Yo, check it out, 50. You handle the bitch ass rap, niggas. I'm gonna handle the bitch ass DJ, nigga.
All right.
We're gonna bring justice to the game.
That's how we gonna put
straight
it down.
Motherfuckers.
That's the sound of the man. Cocking that thing. That's the sound of the man. Clapping that thing. Yo, in my hood, we was taught not to say who shot you.
Yeah.
See a flash, you heard the shot, you feel it burning, I got you.
Uh-huh.
Say a prayer for me if you care for me, cause I'm on the edge. I'm finna put a shell in the nigga head. I rock a lot of ice, I dare you to scheme on it. The fifth got a rope.
And Cypher.
Wow, what a set off.
What a set off. In so many ways. We say rest in peace to the late DJ K Slay, the Drama King.
Man, I used to have this thing I used to say at Hot 97 for a long time. I'm such a versatile personality and DJ. I could fill in for anybody on the radio. I could fill in for Funkmaster Flex.
Sure you could.
And make Flex's fans happy. I used to fill in for Angie Martinez, make her fans happy. Then I'd fill in for numerous DJs on weekend mix shows or whatever.
Sure.
Even to the point where I could fill in for Bobby Connors and Jabba on the reggae show.
You could do that.
And I always used to say, one show I can't fill in for is K Slay. Bro, I couldn't. He played the wildest shit, bro. He played the wildest shit.
You would have to, like, get his records from him and his drops, and that's the only hope you could have.
And then he, like, this, there's always, I don't know how to explain it, like, there's always like this weird Venn diagram of what I call underground hip hop and street hip hop.
You love talking about this.
And sometimes it blends. And a lot of times, K Slay would, I mean, not a lot of times, he would always play the most grimiest street hip hop. But every once in a while, an underground record would fall into that category.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh yeah, this is street, but it's underground because it's like backpacky.
But once you heard this, Syfe, you knew exactly what town you were in.
Warning. The Drama King is in the building. The Drama King is in the building. Warning. The Drama King is in the building. The Drama King is in the building.
And you might hear that throughout that, you know, whether it was a Thursday night, whatever it was, you might hear it 1,000 times during the course of 2 hours.
Oh, for sure. But
he was the best, man. He was the he was the genuine article, as they say, Syph.
Yeah.
I mean, hip hop to a level that is so deep. It goes back so far, so many different iterations of his life. Iterations,
that's the word I was looking for. Yeah, man. Wait, you got the 50 K-Slay of K-Slay's album?
Yeah, that was from the album.
No, what's the other one he had?
That's the biggest one.
No, there's another one, bro. There's another one, K-Slay album.
From how long? From which album?
What song was that you just played?
50 Shot Ya.
No. There's another one.
Do you mean from the Street Sweeper, Volume 1?
Maybe, yeah. It was fire.
Another 50?
It was remember it was like, oh, is that it? Oh, maybe that's it. Does it have like a break in that song?
Yes.
Like, oh, that's the one. Oh, yeah.
It continues.
Hold song, though. In the coupe, my cousin Uzi out in L.A. been tripping through the sets again. I shot the fuck up, trying to rob the wrong Mexican. I write my lifestyle, your niggas is cheaters. Your lines come from feds, felons, and Don D. Oh, you the black hand of death, then why your name ain't preacher? If you a pimp like Ken, why the hoes don't treat you? You want a ball like Kirk, then shorty, let me teach you. This flow's God sent, it's bound to reach you. Problem, child. I'm familiar with problems. I know how to solve them. Semi-automatically a trade, revolve them. Shoot them up, rob them. In the hood, we're starving. You don't want problems, problem chat. And why can't you be mad enough to tell me where you're coming from? They say you can never repay the price for taking a man's life. Uh-huh. I'm in debt with Christ. Mm. I forgot it was is that not I Shot Ya? Yeah, I Shot Ya beat.
Yeah, but 50 Shot Ya, like, that was one of the really, it's interesting because that was a K-Slay record, but it was really one of the big 50 records. Like
yeah,
when
it was one of the ones that made him.
It was one of the ones. Like you think about that period, it's Many Men, it's that one, it's Wangsta.
What up, Blood? What up?
Yeah. What up, Gangster?
Yeah.
Let me see if this is what I think it is.
I want to go on.
No, that's not it. I heard a K-Slay Jay-Z the other day. That was pretty crazy that I'd never heard. How did you listen to many/any K-Slay mixtapes?
Not many, no. It's hard to listen to, like, it's so violent, bro.
Listen, it's definitely a different kind. It's a different kind of thing.
I was more of, I would tune in on the radio when he was on the radio. And then also, my favorite shit about K-Slay was when he used to do all the prison shout-outs. But my favorite thing, he would do all the prison shout outs and then he would start yelling out women's correctional facilities.
Wow.
And
wow.
Bro, he repped so hard, man. But you know what? It's funny, like, we look at those people that he represent the most, and like, bro, I would not want to be coming across those people in a dark alley, you know what I mean? Or walking down the street late at night. But talk about an underrepresented group of people that
he
put the flag up for. Like, oh, my God, the love they had. Look, man, I got my love in the game. I got my love in the streets. But, you know, I'm the funny guy. I'm the playing the mainstream records, blah, blah, blah. I'm on at prime time. Bro, the love they had for K-Slay, man. Like, how many people did he give a shot to, a chance? However it was going down. Like, there's to this day, if you go in front of Hot 97 across the street, there's that white box, this police camera box across the street on a telephone pole. Because there used to be 100 dudes outside of Hot 97 on Thursday nights. It was the craziest shit. Waiting for K-Slay and then waiting for him to play the joint.
Yo, and by the way, literally to the point that, and how perfect is it that one of the last big things he did was he made that song Rolling 110 Deep with 110 rappers on one song.
I never heard that. I never even heard about that.
You didn't That's hear crazy. It was this is like a year and a half ago?
I never heard that. 110 rappers.
Hold on. Let's give it now listen, it's I'm sorry. He did two of them. He did Rolling 50 Deep. And then he did Rolling 110 Deep.
Okay, is he in the Guinness Book of World Records? Is that what he was trying to do?
The Tim Music. Man, y'all did it with this one here, y'all.
Sheik Lutz, Styles P, Dave East, Crooked Eye.
For the culture. But what culture is that you're talking about?
Black Dog.
The one that you claim is a hip-hop artist.
Raekwon.
The research on hip-hop history.
Or the Ghostface.
You disrespect, disconnect, and disregard the founding fathers. But you know what? Whatever it is, it don't even matter. Because as long as I'm alive,
Inspector
I'm
going to
show and prove where this culture
is. Mr. FAB, Saigon, Vado.
Really all about.
I got you, my nigga. Yo, hey, yo, count the 10 and then come in shoot.
Sheik
is first. Silverback, the new Huey New.
What do you say?
Sheik is first.
Yeah.
Love new that. Judge in a chair, the shit hitting the fan. But me, I'ma be smart and legalize my shit. And I ain't leaving the house without that in my hand. And it ain't only the cops, it's niggas on your block. Talk like a little bitch and act like they your man. Something like Chris Parker, my Uzi weigh a ton. 100 niggas on the track, then you know I'll be the one to tell niggas to suck cock. Run and get a gun, that's OP. New P, probably laying in the sun. Probably on the PI. If I call you King, I ain't talk about rap, nigga. That status go to B.
Oh, what just happened?
What you doing?
What you doing? Fuck around and get burnt like a CI. More boss than chill, nigga. Who trying to get a VI? Dealing with stock owners. Conversations with stockbrokers. Make a call for coke. I'm smoking dope from a crop grower. The block knows. Kush got a funky sock odor. How could you not notice I come from that rock culture? Star of the squad, but they cannot coach at all. Louis Vuitton holster. This for my niggas in the salon. On they wall, they got a Nicki Minaj poster. The talk's over, no drive-bys, we walked over.
Car bandana tied to the end of the AR. Iller than they are. Rhyme so sick, give them the day off. This is the chaos. Nicolas Cage face off. The Dark Knight. I'll make it a dark night when I'm getting that KO. Better than whoever done it. Even officers better run it with the drum. I got a technique that'll give 1,200. Now the table turn. To whom it may concern. I used to control more shooters than David Stern with Lucifer.
Yeah. I was in the park spray painting on a platform. Patent leather top 10 Space Invader hats on. 80 something, I've been a threat for that long. Where a lot of people get poked up and clapped on. My job really putting on for the city. You can pop like a willy for saying some old silly shit to me. It'd be safer to say it in Swahili. They be willing you away if you say it in South Philly.
Look, 30 shots, I'm shooting the pillar's top. When them niggas sending shots, they shooting to get the spot that I'm in, nigga. You know what it is when I spin a block.
All right. All right, listen, we only have another 37 minutes, I've...
Come through the hall with the big blammers. Ben Takers Park, let me handle this. Jerry, that's flashy. Jeans is 1,000, he slick nasty. Pull out 100 in your housing. Yeah, it's raw lingo in the Kango.
What'd you say?
He asked 110 rappers to get on this. And I guarantee every one of them was like, yeah.
That's the thing. That's the thing that
How do you want me to do? You want me to send it to you or you want me to?
Yeah. That's the thing that blows my mind. Like when you think about the amount that he got done during the years that he was doing it. Of course, he was also huge for the Diplomats, right? Yep. Big, big Diplomat mixtapes. Here's this one.
It's DJ K Slay from around the way, the Drama King. Reppin' East Side, Spanish Harlem, El Barrio. And right now, we gonna get into my man shit. What you hit such as?
Yo, I love that he says El Barrio. It's the L, so it's Spanish.
Yeah.
But it's not Barrio. It's just El Barrio.
How it's spelled, baby?
It's like El Barry Obama. El Barrio.
All my Harlem niggas, my BK niggas. Killer, 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 dog.
What?
Back uptown, baby, Lenox Ave. My foyer's on Broadway all day. Come, hey, yo, you got the way I.
Oh, you're welcome, world.
Hey, yo, Kelly, you know it's a lot of niggas who be out there, yo, like, Cam is whack, K is whack. You know what I mean? I don't fuck with Cam, I don't fuck with K. Fuck. You know what I mean? The thing is, you whack, you know what I mean? We don't fuck with y'all, man. You think I really like to do this, man? I'm just nice at what I do, man. I ain't got time to be fucking stooped up and scooped up in the motherfucking studio in the house, writing my heart out with some fucking rhymes. I do this 1 month out the year. You know what I mean? The rest of the fucking year, I'm out in LA. I'm down in Miami, Boca Raton. I'm going to Switzerland.
Yo, I spent 10 seconds trying to hear if he was rapping or not. I was like, is he rapping or talking? What's happening here?
All day, every day, man.
Man, so fuck all these other niggas, but we gonna get ready to do it in the deep ground, Zion 1. I'll let you go. Okay, what is it?
Let's get it going on with the new Cameron joint right
here. This shirt right here is called Oh Boy. This is the extended version, exclusive. Street sweeping motherfucker.
Look at his kicks.
What'd you say?
It's yelling, it's offbeat, it's noises, it's just coming, it just is, just blah.
It is, it's so crazy, it's such a different, if we were to try to explain K Slay in general, radio, mixtapes, personality, Straight Stuntin' Magazine, you could never explain him fully to someone who doesn't live hip-hop like, and doesn't enjoy it.
Yeah, it's like... It's like when people always talk about the culture, right? But like, you wouldn't, no matter how much hip hop you listen to, or you know, Spotify plays you give an artist, like this is something you still wouldn't understand. Like, you would think this is all wrong. Everything about this is wrong. But it's people that like matters so much.
Was what you just said English?
No, this is all over the place.
He said, because it's people that matters so much. I don't know what you're even saying anymore. No, but you're right. It's very hard to just pinpoint exactly what makes K Slay.
I can listen to all of this K Slay shit, and I feel that I speak another language.
Right. Because you can understand
it. Saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't live that street life, but I speak the language and I understand the language.
You know, you're fluent.
But there's some people that wouldn't even know what was happening.
I want to find now another. There's so much. I'm digging around on Mixcloud and trying to find different things. DJ K Slay's Rough Riders mixtape, Volume 1, 2002. The Best of Styles P is the first thing that comes up, which is I find interesting. K Slay's dedication tape to Justo, 2005.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Rest in peace, Justo. K Slay and Alchemist, The Mixmasters. Oh, but that's by another DJ. Okay. K Slay and Jim Jones, Certified Troublemakers from 2004. Multiple Diplomats tapes. That was the one we were just playing was Diplomats Volume 1 and 2. Here's a DJ EFN mixtape hosted by DJ K Slay. But what I want to give you guys, what I'd like to give you is a little, maybe a taste of the drama hour.
How old was K-Slay?
I think 57. What do you mean?
Bro, that means when he was popping, he was 40, 45. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he was when he was on fire still. Yeah, yeah.
He was on fire.
At 40.
He was old, you know what I mean? And nobody cared because that's the thing about the culture. Like, it doesn't matter. Everybody thinks, oh, you got to be young and hot, you know, in the mainstream game. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter when it's really authentic.
He was born in August 14th, 1966.
Hilarious.
34 plus 22. Yeah, 56. I got to tell you, one thing that did make me happy was the amount of coverage it got.
Yeah.
Saif, you got it. I don't know if you saw it. You probably didn't. He got a really thorough New York Times obituary.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He's
really?
Yep. You know what? Wow. I'm gonna give you a taste of it.
That's awesome, man.
Like you know, it's not. This isn't just like a being written about on Hip Hop DX.
Oh, that's amazing. And then also, I hate it. I hate that that's what it had to be. But yeah, this is the whole thing about giving people their flowers when they're alive. This is the exact representation of that.
Although you have to think that K-Slay knew. Like, he got such love and respect from his peers and artists. I feel like he probably had a good idea of how he was viewed, no? Yeah,
I think so.
You know what? We can ask DJ Juanito.
Oh, hi, Juanito.
Turn your mic on. There you are. Hey, DJ John.
Juanito, what's up, man? No, his mic's not on.
It's gonna take multiple steps for him to get it. He's gotta move his drink.
K-Slay gave me some great advice once.
What K-Slay said?
He goes, yo, Saif, if you can't buy it once, I mean, he goes, if you can't buy it twice, don't buy it once.
Wow.
I was like, okay. He goes, if you can't buy two houses.
Oh, that's deep.
He's like, if you can't buy two of them, you ain't got it.
I'm not kidding though. That is ill advice.
That is better advice than my business managers ever gave me.
Yo, that is. I got to tell you, that's actually really good advice. All right, while Juanito's getting set up, let me just read this. DJ K-Slay. This is from the New York Times. DJ K-Slay, fiery radio star and rap mixtape innovator, dies at 55. The one-time graffiti artist and New York DJ for Hot 97 was known for breaking artists and stoking beefs that gave fuel to the careers of Nas, Jay-Z, 50 Cent, and more. That's the title. That's all in the above the header.
Right.
This is by Joe Coscarelli, wrote this article. DJ K-Slay, who served as a crucial bridge between hip-hop generations, developing from a teenage b-boy and graffiti writer into an innovative New York radio personality known for his pugnacious mixtapes that stoked rap beefs, broke artists, and helped change the music business, died on Sunday in New York. He was 55. Slay had a four-month battle with COVID-19, his family said in a statement confirming his death. Few figures in hip-hop could trace their continued presence from the genre's earliest days to the digital present like he could. In the late 1970s, New York, K-Slay was a young street artist known as Dez, plastering his spray-painted tag on building walls and subway cars, as chronicled in the cult documentaries Wild Style and Style Wars. Then he was the Drama King, a.k.a. Slap Your Favorite DJ, hosting the late night drama hour on the influential radio station Hot 97 for more than two decades before his illness took him off the air. Cats know it's no holds barred with me, Slay told the New York Times in 2003 when the paper dubbed him hip-hop's one-man ministry of insults. In addition to providing a ring and roaring encouragement for battles between Jay-Z and Nas, 50 Cent and Ja Rule, Slay gave an early platform to local artists and crews like the Diplomats, G-Unit, Terror Squad, and the rapper Papoose, both on his show and on the mixtapes that made his name as much theirs. As mixtapes evolved from homemade DJ blends on actual cassettes to semi-official promotional tool and underground economy of CDs sold on street corners in flea markets, record stores, bodegas, and barbershops, Slay advanced with the times, eventually releasing his own compilation albums on Columbia Records. Once illicit and unsanctioned, mixtapes now represent a vital piece of the music streaming economy, with artists and major labels releasing their own albums like official showcases that top the Billboard charts. You were really the first to bring the personality to the mixtape, Funkmaster Flex, a fellow Hot 97 DJ, once told Slay during a radio interview. That was very unusual. We were just used to music and exclusives. Slay, who became immersed in drugs and spent time behind bars before making it in music, responded, "I had to find an angle to run with it." He was born Keith Grayson in New York on August 14, 1966, and raised in East Harlem. As a child, he was drawn to disco, dancing the hustle, when early hip-hop DJs began turning breakbeats from those songs into proto-rap music. He traveled to the Bronx to observe and participate in the rising culture. "I had to see what was going on and bring it back to my borough," he told Spin Magazine in 2003. "So I used to hop on the 6 train and go up to the Bronx River Center to see Afrika Bambaataa and the Zulu Nation rock." He soon took up the affiliated art forms of breakdancing and graffiti, even casually rapping with his friends. "Every element of the game I participated in," Slay told Flex. But street art became his chief passion, first under the tag Spade 429 and later Dez TFA, which he shortened to Dez. "I wanted a nice small name that I could get up everywhere and do it quick without getting grabbed," he said at the time. "You're telling the world something, like, I am somebody, I'm an artist." Amid the city's crackdown on graffiti, Dez took on the name K. Slay. "After a while, you get tired of writing the same name," he said of his street art days, and developed a fascination with turntables. "Boy, you better turntable those books," he recalled his disappointed parents saying. But in need of money and with little interest in school, he soon turned to drugs and stick-ups. In 1989, Slay was arrested and served a year in jail for drug possession with intent to sell. Upon getting out, he told Spin, "I started noticing Brucey B, Kid Capri, Ron G. They were doing mixtapes, doing parties, and getting paid lovely." He sold t-shirts, socks, and jeans to buy DJ equipment and worked a Bronx facility and assisted people with HIV and AIDS. I can't count the number of people I saw die," he told the Times in that period. "Working there really made me begin to appreciate life." In the mid-1990s, Slay found the professional music business still unwelcoming, and he began to call out in colorful language on his releases those label executives he thought of as useless. "I told myself I would be so big that one day the same people I was begging for records would be begging me to play their records," he said. It was that irascible, I don't even know this word, I'm not very bright. It was that irascible spirit that helped endear him to rappers who had their own scores to settle. In 2001, Slay had a breakthrough when he premiered Ether, the blistering Nas diss of Jay-Z that revitalized the headline hip-hop beef following the murders of Tupac Shakur and Notorious B.I.G. His radio slots and mixtapes became proving ground, and he later started a magazine called Straight Stuntin'. "He's like the Jerry Springer of rap," one DJ told the Times. "All the fights happen on his show." Slay's gruff manner and mid-song shoutouts would go on to influence his contemporaries like DJ Clue, a one-time rival, and those who followed like DJ Who Kid and DJ Drama. Alberto Martinez, the Harlem drug dealer known as Alpo, who was killed last year while in witness protection, even hosted a Slay tape from prison. "The game was boring until I came around," Slay said. He is survived by his mother, Sheila Grayson, along with his best friend and business manager, Jared Whitaker. In Slay's on-air conversation with Funk Flex, the other DJ marveled at the creativity of Slay's boasts and threats. Quote, "If you stop the bank, then I'm going to rob the bank," and asked his colleague if he ever regretted the shocking things he'd bellowed. "I said some foul things, man, on some mixtapes when I was not in full touch with myself," Slay replied. "But I'm not angry at myself for doing it, because the boy that I was made the man I am today."
Wow.
Whew. That was super educational.
Except for what's the word, irascible?
Yeah. I don't think irascible? I said that. Irascible? Hold on. I-R-A-S-C-I-B-L-E.
Irascible.
Irascible.
Oh, no, irascible.
Irascible.
God, we're not.
Irascible.
Irascible.
Having or showing a tendency to be easily angered.
Irascible.
That sounds irascible. Right. That sounds right. DJ Juanito.
Welcome to Juan Epp. Irascible.
DJ Juan Epp, you're an irascible fellow yourself.
I try.
What can you, tell us your story with K-Slay. When did you meet him? How did you start working with him? What's your K-Slay story?
I would always see Slay doing, at the station, but doing like when I was doing street team events. So at night I would stick around and just linger because I just wanted to hear what he's going to play next.
And you're a lingerer in general.
Oh, thanks. The special kind. And then I really got to know him more when I started interning at Asylum with Jay Grant, not knowing the relationship with Jay Grant and Slay had. And then that kind of propelled me to, you know, what else, you know, just know more about what they did as a business, right? They brought me on to their Shade 4-5 show on Wednesday just to, you know, be around, hang around. Because if I was already working with Jay, I could, you know, hang around with Slay. Slay was just different. Slay was very straightforward, he's funny. He was a funny dude.
He was funny.
Funny, hysterical.
Like intention. Intentionally funny. He was not just because overall a lot of his shtick was funny, mm-hmm. Intentionally and unintentionally, but he was also intentionally funny.
Yeah, he was funny.
I mean, he created the name The Tallest Mexican. He created that.
No, really? He didn't.
He did.
No, he did not. I created that.
No.
Fuck out of here.
Oh, no.
I'm a rascal right now. I'm a rascal.
No. Please.
No way.
Yeah, please don't fight.
You know why?
Please don't fight.
Okay. Can I just say what? Can I just finish? I wasn't done. Can you let me finish? Thank you.
Yeah.
I knew he was the first one because when I walked in, and I was bored on his show for the first time. And he asked me, like, well, what are you? What's your background? And I told him I was a Mexican. And he's like, I've never seen a tall-ass Mexican ever in my life. Because on 116th, there are a lot of short Mexicans. And they're from a different place in Mexico. and he was accustomed to short
Maybe
Mexicans.
Maybe he said you were tall and no. Mexican. He did not come up with the term the tallest Mexican. Yo. That is 100% me. You're not taking this away from me.
Even in Slay's passing, Syph will not just give this away.
Wow. No, Slay got that from me, 100%.
Well, he's a crazy. Shut up, man. All right. Whatever. How you write your own history?
Revisionist history.
Yo, you're being super irascible right now.
Yo, you're being panicked.
Irascible,
you.
Man. Go on. Go
well,
on.
Listen, before I started rolling with Syph a lot, I was rolling with Slay, like, far as, like, edit his cleans for the radio.
Oof.
His term of radio clean was determined by, oh, that's a K-Slay clean.
Meaning okay, yeah, what was a K-Slay clean?
According to Ebro and anyone else who cleaned his records, it was, you could say the N-word, you could say the B-word,
mm-hmm.
the S-word.
Yeah. Yep, late at night, there was certain words.
Wait, they would even let you, if it was after midnight, you could even let shit go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they would just say fuck is out.
Can't say fuck.
You can't say fuck.
And you can't say like.
There was other words.
You can say ass, but you can't say in the ass.
Right. Yeah. So if it was super dirty, like they were saying sexual dirty things, you'd have to take that.
No, that could fly, I guess. But then again, it was K-Slay clean, so only on his night. The other nights, no, that had to be super clean.
Let's hear a random law. Let's hear a little bit of a 2013 drama hour. This is March 22nd, 2013.
Oh, wait, so that might have the gel intro.
It's time for the Drama King. Drama King.
K-Slay, Harlem's finest.
DJ K-Slay.
The Drama Hour with DJ K-Slay. Bringing it to you uncut. Exclusive. Freestyle straight out of the land. Drama. Only on Hot 97. The drama hour starts now.
1-800-223-9797. DJ K-Slay, Drama King in the building. All correction facilities, y'all know the procedures. Hey, yo, it's DJ K-Slay, the Drama King. Listen to what it comes down.
You understand if you're listening at home right now and you're like, wow, there's a lot going on here. That's the thing. Like, K-Slay was like, you knew the second you'd gotten in range of New York City when you started hearing this. Because this could only sound like the radio here. This could only be hot.
And that intro was an updated intro. Like, he'll say all correctional facilities lock in, but prior to that, he would do every jail cell. He would do like Sing Sing, Valhalla. Yeah. He would do every one. And that audio is hard to get. And mind you, I was trying to grab every bit of audio to help, you know, pay a tribute to Slay. But he will record all his shows on CD. Like, and I asked Young Sav about this. He would take his recordings and take home with him. So he has all the footage and video and same thing. And audio with him, like archived. And he has thousands and thousands and thousands.
So you're saying he had all the Drama Hours are recorded? He has them all?
Yes. I have all
our Cypher Sounds and Rosenberg's recorded. Mm-hmm. So many CDs.
It was crazy. So Slay would introduce me to different worlds, like being part of Straight Stuntin', that was one hell of a ride. And it's still going.
How are you part of Straight Stuntin'?
He was a great writer, Sif. I don't know if you know this. DJ Juanito, who can barely put together an English sentence, but he was a great writer for Straight Stuntin' magazine.
He was like, yo, what would you want to do? He's like, I don't know, just it'd be kind of dope. He's like, so he gave me a lane. He's like, why don't you interview women? I was like, in what capacity? He's like, only Latin women, but are doing something like positive, like, you know, role models, you know. So I interviewed a Latin boxer, a Latina boxer, an actress, Laura Stiles, other different Latino women.
Why did you have to do Latino people?
That's what Slay wanted, something different on the magazine that wasn't really risque, you know, something like with some substance that wasn't, you know, with the asses and all that stuff. I mean, yeah, he introduced me to a world. The first time I met a porn star was through Slay. Like, in that world. Like,
who was it, Juanito? Who was the first porn star you met through Slay?
What was her name? It's a short white lady. Probably Sarah J.
Wow. Look at you. Look what he did for you.
I know, right? But it just, you know, maybe it just, Slay was just different. Slay would just talk. And actually, I would ask questions about what his beliefs were. Like, because you never knew what Slay was always a mystery at times. You know, he would come with a bottle of rosé or Cliquet to the station and drink it
always,
while he's doing the show.
Always had a bottle, bro.
Always had a bottle.
Always had bottles when he came to the station.
You know what I'm saying? And he had a bad joint when he was doing Straight Sun. He always had a bad model. Even dealing with Slay during, there was, you know, the rift between having Uncle Murder, seeing that unfold and, you know, going from like a little beef till now they're all great and cool. That was an interesting moment.
I don't even remember you working with Slay like that. It's so funny that you brought that up, Rosenberg.
Time management.
I remember now that you're talking about it, but just normal memory. I forgot about all that shit you did with him.
Like, I remember one time I was leaving Asylum working with some Slay stuff, Straight Stuntin', and then I would meet you at MTV. You, I think you just did Gucci Man or something at MTV. So I would like
time out my day. Like, all right, if I could help out here, then I could go to there. It was just another, I thought it was another part of the hustle. Like,
of course.
You know, things like, yo, you know, just make sure, you know, you do right by everyone. I thought I was doing right. Like, as long as I knock out my work or knock out anything I was doing to help, you know, you guys at the time. It was just learning how to DJ. You know, like, the one thing I learned, well, learned from Syph was when he said he wanted to be like Premier. And if DJing was being like Premier, he'll do it. So I thought, you know, like, let me learn what they would do. And that will help me be a better DJ person and be a radio person, personality, and whatever it took, you know.
Well, listen, let's find my own lane. Let's bring in the guy who brought you over to Asylum, for better or for worse.
Definitely for worse.
Oh, wow. This guy. Wow. Mighty Whitey.
Happy birthday, Jay Grand.
Happy birthday to you, Sy.
Happy belated. Me and Jay Grand share the same birthday.
Oh.
And I forgot to say happy birthday, and I apologize.
Don't apologize. Listen, this week, it was not a happy birthday.
It was not a happy birthday. Yeah, we're sorry. I'm really sorry, Jay. I know you and Slay were always close.
Yeah.
How did it start for you and K Slay?
Yeah. Let's do the happy stuff.
Yeah.
Slay was. It was the early days. I was working at Franchise, and I think
Franchise. People that don't know was one of Funkmaster Flex's companies.
Right, as the marketing company. So I don't even remember if I was running it at the time or whether Chris was still there. But short version, Slay was bubbling in the street. Clue was really popping in terms of mixtapes. Clue and Envy were really doing their thing. But there was this dude, K Slay, who started making noise. Do you guys remember what the first tape was that was like he really went off? It was a diss record. God, I can't even remember who it was. That's terrible.
He had.
Well, I don't want to belabor it. So he had, and it's probably better that we don't even say it. but short version, Slay started to really pop off. He was looking for a bigger outlet. At the time, I got to know Slay. I was the one that was feeding him a lot of the music because Slay, God bless him, he couldn't even turn on a computer.
That's for sure.
Eventually good. I'm not downing the man at all. I love him with all my heart. But
in the early blog days, though, he wasn't able to download off Z-Share. He wasn't figuring that out.
Oh, before Z-Share, bro.
Oh, we're going before this.
Yeah.
LimeWire.
Jay Grant had the...
This is before Napster.
Right. Yeah, okay.
He had the... I remember that Jay Grant used to be downloading shit like... And I would look at his screen, and it looked like one of those movies where, like, the hacker has, like, the shit on the screen, like, yeah, tapping into the Pentagon. And he used to get all these fucking songs.
Yeah, we had it was the early days of the internet where file trading was, like, a new thing, and people would get songs, and you would do file trading. And so that's how I got to know Slay. I had a bunch of music early. He was looking for unreleased stuff, and sometimes you'd get it from the label, and sometimes you wouldn't. I definitely remember Kaiser yelling at us at some point for putting way too many songs on a particular tape, but that's a different story for a different day.
In some ways you started A&Ring kind of his tapes a little bit to some degree?
Yeah. I mean, he picked everything though. He wasn't putting anything on. The only things he put on, he didn't want to put on, is if it was a favor for me, if it was breaking an arse, which is kind of what I want to get to. I mean, it's hard to think of somebody, you know, I can think on one hand how many people gave, you know, an artist from anywhere their first shot. I think Slay was probably the best at taking anybody from any region and giving you your first shot. Mm. He was, you know, definitely supportive of the South. You know, Greg Street was his homie, you know, Atlanta, but Texas, California, you know, you think like, everybody from California. We were looking, I think Mech sent me, is it you that sent me the one, the K-Dot? It was K-Dot,
yeah.
Nipsey, and J-Rock.
I was about to say, I think I first heard Nipsey from K-Slay.
Yeah, how about like K-Dot when he was K-Dot?
Yeah.
You know, that was 13, 14 years, maybe even longer.
Yeah, we'll play that in a little bit. That was it's awesome. It's almost like, it almost feels like when Big L brought Jay-Z up to Stretch and Bob.
Yeah.
Right.
That's basically what it is. It's J-Rock bringing up Kendrick Lamar. It's crazy.
Yeah, with Punch in the background.
Yep.
Like that. And Juanito walks in during the middle of it and fucks it up.
Well, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I don't want to go on too long, and I'm getting ready to actually come out for the service tomorrow. I moved to LA, but I just want to say in general, man, Slay just, he was so important to so many people. I think tomorrow's going to be crazy.
It's going to be insane. I mean, it's the Apollo at 10 a.m. for K Slay. It's going to be, wild.
By the way, shout to TT. TT did such an amazing job helping put this together. I don't know if everybody on the broadcast knows TT or not. I'd imagine a lot of you do.
But TT Torres, the APD and music director at Hot 97, yeah.
Yeah, shout to her. I mean, she's been busting her ass. It's been sad. I really feel, my heart really goes out to Sheila, his mom. She's been dealing with this for four months. I don't even want to say dealing with this, like it's her son. And he fought so hard, man. I think, he's really going to be missed.
Was there, last thing I'll ask you, Jay, I know it's hard. Did it seem like at some point, because it sounded like we were hearing he was going to get better. Did you think
he was getting better? She didn't want us to talk about it at all. He had plenty of ups and downs. She wanted to be private about it, which I completely understand. There were a lot of people, you guys included, that were always checking in, trying to see how he was doing. So I was speaking to her every other day, seeing the, you know, keeping track of the ups and downs, trying to help as much as I could. I have a lot of, I feel terrible for her. You know, 4 months straight, your son's finally getting better. She had spoke to him right before that night, his Easter Sunday, and an hour later he was gone. So he's going to be missed, man. He was, and just one last note from me, just in terms of him as a person, like he was really gruff. He was not, he was never really big on goodbyes. Like Slay could just kind of hang up the phone and he'd be like, all right. He was not going to win the People Skills Award, but deep down, he has such a big heart. He's such a good guy. He helped so many people.
So many.
And I hope that he's really remembered. Like when you think, like he is really the Renaissance man of hip hop. Like think starting from Graf and emceeing, and then you know doing every aspect of hip hop. You know, I don't know how he was at breaking. I won't comment on that. I'm not old enough to know. But, you know, to think about how far back he goes in hip-hop culture, the 70s, it's Desi Dez, all the way to today.
It's insane.
And that's a long run, man. That's, you know, that's a...
We just read a... year run. We just read the New York Times obit.
Oh, who wrote it?
Coscarelli? Let's see.
Oh, Joe. Okay.
Joe Coscarelli. And it's fantastic. You should read it on the flight. It's really, really good. I mean, it's all stuff you'll know, but a lot of it I didn't. And it really does paint the picture of like just how much of a Renaissance man he was. It's and it's interesting because, you know, Jay, you helped play a part in that because one of the things it says in the article is that he's one of the only people to make it from the origins of hip hop to the internet era and continue to thrive. And, you know, you obviously played a part in helping along with that. So did you, Juanito.
I want no credit. It was all his hustle. He always wanted this. He was very driven. He was still driven. You know, it's, you guys know what a grind it is to do radio shows. And you, Peter, doing multiple stations. It's a grind. It takes a toll on your life. It's very consuming. It's more than a job. It's a lifestyle. And he was about, and he. I really want to read Joe's article. Joe's really
did K Slay's apartment sort of look like it was designed by Dapper Dan? Is that true?
Which one?
I heard there was an apartment.
It was a shithole. Where he made the tapes was a disaster. His house, on the east side in Manhattan was much nicer. That was down the road. And then he moved to Edgewater.
I don't know the
stuff I know, man, it was driving. I don't know how much I got to go, but you know, we used to, for the mixtape spot across from Patsy's, it was the second floor, shitty apartment, stuff all over the place, records, CDs, CD spindles, boxes of CDs, you know, rundown computer, janky mic setup. And you would get in, he would toss the key out the window. And that's right across the street from Patsy's.
Classic, man.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, one of these days I'll get to the stories, but he's going to be missed, man. He is a legend. I don't take that word lightly. You know, the youth out there, you kids love saying goat. Goat isn't really for me. I'm going to call him a legend.
Yeah, and that's completely accurate. People use legend way too loosely. He's the actual definition of a legend. It goes. Yeah.
He's special.
It's the entire run of hip hop. We'll let you get out here to New York, Jay Grand. Travel safe. Thanks for making time.
Love you guys.
Love you, man. Later. Guys. There he is.
That's crazy. I just got a video maybe an hour before you hit me, and it was a videographer that did Slay stuff years ago.
You talk years ago?
Years ago. And you know what's funny? I would film Slay on my Mac, on my laptop.
Okay.
And this is like 06, and Grand helped me get my Apple Mac.
What's an Apple Mac?
I mean my MacBook. Your MacBook. First MacBook. Okay. Actually, the first MacBook that
Slay,
I ever
you
got
heard for... Apple Mac?
Yeah.
All right, so your first Apple Mac, keep going.
that I earned was through Grand, and it actually got stolen in the back of Sipe's truck. Mm-hmm. So
what? It did?
Yeah, remember?
Oh, yeah, remember.
With Drewski.
What club were we at?
19th Street.
Yeah.
It was a good time. Not really. But anyway, I would take my Mac and I record all that stuff, all the footage that I record, I put it on YouTube. You know what? I think it was a Joe Budden freestyle. It was like Havoc and Prodigy. It was Ray J, Gucci, Rick Ross, Trina. It was like early stuff. And I was like trying to help him, like, yo, here's a cool idea to have your stuff on. And at that time, Sirius didn't have a video department and like that to help their artists. And I think the station was early too.
Oh, so you were, so you were doing the actual video, the only videos that existed of his stuff.
Yeah. And the video that Dre was trying to allude to was I made like these small 1 minute promos on my Mac of just like straight.
Which Mac was it? Your Apple Mac?
Was it the Apple Mac?
The book Mac. The Apple
book Mac. Book Mac. Mm-hmm. Sure it was.
So yeah, I mean it's just, you know, that's was something, an idea that I thought it would be dope to help him to get his stuff out there. I think that was part of the job of just helping those guys out, you know, with doing Mix Show for Asylum with Grand and that hustle and learning those guys. And Slay was different. Slay would come up with Del Frisco is a restaurant in New York.
Oh my God. Bro,
what?
He used to bring up Del Frisco's all the time.
That's a very intense thing to bring up.
It's expensive. Bro.
And expensive.
$50 salmon.
He used to bring up bags of Del Frisco's. I remember that.
Yo, I'm going to tell you something. Sipe, one of the most sneaky, low-key, outrageous hip-hop things to do is to order fancy restaurants as takeout food.
No. Bro, Del Frisco's, first of all, Del Frisco's is in the 50s.
Yes.
Over by Rockefeller Plaza. Before they have other ones now, but at that time, it was in the 50s. And then he would bring it down to Hot 97. So he would get all this fancy, I'm sure the steaks were well done.
Well done.
And he would take out all the way down to Hot 97 and then set up the radio show, have the champagne, and just eat cold
meals. And by the way, if he bought a lot of it for the everyone there, you're talking about he just dropped $500 on takeout.
$400-$500 no matter what.
Yo.
Man, asparagus. Yo, get some asparagus.
Yo, he's like, yo, you want asparagus? It's the extra asparagus is $27. Like, that's incredible.
He was out. He used to roll up with them bags, yo.
I would know that he'd be a regular at Chow's constantly.
Oh,
go to check like weekly. I heard at one point, and just like, you know, enjoy
chicken satay all day.
I mean, listen, Flex loves getting the expensive cold takeout. Also,
no. Flex gets delivery and eats it right away.
Okay,
you see what I'm saying? Like it's still hot. This is
delicious.
This Del Frisco's traveled.
Well, people usually like their steak about 2 hours out of the pan. You know, that's what it really gets going. Let's go back and listen. We just talked about it. Man. We just talked about it with Jay Grand.
One more thing I want to say what Jay Grand was saying. Bro, anywhere in the country, this guy K-Slay was connected to the streets, yo. Yep. It was impressive of how, let me tell you, there's a comedian named Ali Sadiq, little guy from Houston, Texas. He is a street legend. And he's hilarious, but he's from the streets. He has a special where he did in jail. Like, you know, he went back to the jail to do a comedy special.
Wow.
And bro, when he met me, because he was on my show on True TV on Laugh Mob Laugh Tracks.
I went to sleep watching last night.
You did?
Yeah. I was going through HBO. I knew I was dumb tired. I wasn't going to make it through much. And I was going through HBO Max and I saw the laugh. I was like, let me watch. It promotes you as the host. So I was like, you know what? It promotes Seif like it's his show. Let me watch this. It was pretty good.
I definitely did one minute on there. But when I met Ali Sadiq, he was like, yo, you DJ from New York, right? I was like, yeah. He goes, yo, you know K-Slay? I was like, okay, I already know who you are. I know what you represent.
Right. What you're about.
Like, yeah, but K-Slay had the everywhere we went, man. Street dudes would ask us about K-Slay. Like, not if you know, like they knew him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Guys, remember, K-Slay he's the connect to why Papoose came out during Kendrick's set at Summer Jam.
Right. And he's like a top dog.
Him and Top. I talked to Top this week.
Right.
Yeah, Top loved him. Had been in contact with them. Let's hear J-Rock and Kendrick on Street Sweeper Radio. This is like 2008.
When y'all trying to release the album?
Man, we trying to shoot for like September, man. You know what I'm saying? All right. Trying to get everything right. Like, we finna shoot the video to All My Life on the 17th, you know what I'm saying? When we go back home, we actually leave, so we getting ready for that. That's going to be real big, so, you know, we trying to keep it rolling, my nigga, you know what I'm saying? Finna just keep pushing, man.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
That day come, you know?
Okay.
So you can have the other artists from the Top Dog Entertainment family in there, like... K. Dodd and Leah.
Hell yeah, man, you know, got my nigga,
Oh, damn it, it stopped. Sorry.
That's J-Rock?
That's J-Rock talking right now.
Wow.
And by the way, that's interesting. This is before I had J-Rock up at Hot. I had J-Rock up after All My Life had already been out. Here you go.
Who's that girl talking
about?
Was
that in New York?
D. Vasquez.
Who is it?
D. Vasquez.
Oh, that's D. Vasquez talking. Okay.
Man, we in here. We trying to get it. Grinding. Straight up. K-Dot.
Yeah, we had to on the stage, though.
Yeah.
That's all Kendrick had to say at this point in time. Listen to this.
Got my nigga K-Dot right here, you know what I'm saying? K-Dot, man, you know, straight out of Compton, you know what I'm saying? One of the most lyricist nigga. Like, man, I don't even want to talk about it, man. He like, and I'm talking about lyrics. Lyricist, this nigga is a lyricist, you know what I'm saying? Straight out of Compton, my nigga, you know. K-Dot talked to the people one time, my nigga.
Was that in New York? Straight out of Compton, man. We in here. We trying to get it. Grinding. Straight up. K-Dot.
Yeah, we had to on the stage, though.
Yeah.
Shout out to Long Island. Shout out to everybody out there, Roosevelt. Yeah.
Shout out.
Yo, that's so, he was taking him out to random gigs on the island.
Hilarious.
Here's a random conversation in that same interview of K-Dot talking about Obama.
Where we go?
That's good.
888-745-C2 Radio. Vote for Obama.
Oh, yes.
Obama
probably knocking it down right now.
Yeah.
No.
He got a black wife, too, yo. He got a black wife, too.
Faithful, trustworthy man.
But you see how they do it? No, but you see how they trying to do it now? How they trying to make it, like, biracial? Like, they're trying to say that he is? Yeah.
He is.
Because this show wouldn't have been complete unless we got a little political talk from DJ K. Slay. We got everything.
So that's the first time Kendrick was ever heard in New York?
Well, that's on Sirius.
Yeah.
Oh, Sirius. Wow, yeah.
But he would record, like all his interviews and then a separate break for Hot. Like, you guys would do the same thing at some point. So he would go in another room, record, like, a couple of breaks, and then I would go edit those breaks down. Even the Drake freestyle. Huh?
How would you edit them? On your Apple Mac?
You know it had to be on the Apple Mac. What else would it be?
You should go get it. I was trying to get to. Even the night of the Drake freestyle, you know, Slate, Syfe, I think even Lemon Green, Slate recorded a Drake interview that night.
He did?
The one where I brought Drake up?
Yes.
The Blackberry night?
The Blackberry night. The same one.
Slay recorded an interview with him?
Because it was Slay night. It was on a Thursday night.
After Thursday, yeah, you're right. Yep.
And
yep,
I
remember that.
And then we went to one of the back rooms to record the morning stuff for you. And then I guess they saw Slay and they wanted to do an interview. Slay was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, Slay didn't care, right?
I don't know if he cared. He just, like, he knew he was a new artist.
He played it on the air?
I think for the following week he did. But I have the audio. It's at station.
That's crazy. What's that interview like?
I'm gonna jump through a little bit more of the this episode of
You know what? Why don't we move this over to our people?
Oh, you want to go Patreon and play a little more?
Let's move this over to our friends over at Patreon.
Listen, guys, you guys already know. Listen, we've been trying to this week and last week. You know, unfortunately in the case of this week, Syfe, I'm so grateful we're doing the podcast. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Last week it was just all fun and games that we got to break down the 2001 Summer Jam. This time, I'm glad we got to be on and be together to talk about this in a real way because it deserves real conversation and real light. By the way, shout out to It's the Real, the Rosenthals, the only people I know who in recent times had a K-Slay interview. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, there's an episode of It's the Real that you could look up with K-Slay. Yes.
Dope.
So shout out to It's the Real for doing that. You know, they're New York hip-hop nerds through and through who, of course, loved K-Slay. Also, Syfe, before we roll out on the free episode.
It's priceless.
Or maybe we should save it for the Patreon. We should talk about us seeing each other the other day on your birthday.
I mean, I thought that was going to be the focus
of the episode. Well, listen.
Rest in peace,
K-Slay. It became a rest in peace, K-Slay episode. But
this guy, Rosenberg. You, listen, you want to know how Rosenberg ruined my life this week? Do me a favor, sign up to Patreon. It's only $7.50 a month.
Yeah, jump over to the Patreon. Well worth it.
The patrons love it, and you would too. Jump on, help us out, support the movement, and hear how Rosenberg just ruined my life.
Right. Ruined it.
Ruining it.
Ruined.
All right, we'll do that now on Patreon. Thanks, guys.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.